Thank you, sir. Thank you. Good evening. All right, we're going to be in Romans, the book of Romans, and we're going to be in chapter 15. I just want to thank Pastor for allowing me to preach, and I know my voice sounds funny. I guess sin is going around because I'm sick too, really sick, but that's the devil, I guess, throwing darts at me, as Pastor was saying this morning, those fiery darts. So just pray for our family as well. But basically, I just want to, again, thank you guys for having me. I've been struggling with this for a while, and I just thank you. Romans chapter 5, verse 14, as you stand. All right. So Romans 15 and verse 4. Sorry if I told you the wrong chapter. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just want to thank you, Lord, just for being in your house, Father. And Father God, I just pray, Lord, that you give me the wisdom to speak. I pray, Lord, that I may decrease, Lord, and that you may increase in me. And Father, I just thank you for your wonderful blessings, for your mercy, for your grace. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you come down from heaven and just spend some time with us. And Father God, I just want to thank you for the people tonight. And Lord, and Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your word is a blessing to us. In name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, please be seated. So, speaking of this verse here, aforetime things that are past, and I'm going to talk to you about patience, comfort, and hope in the scriptures. Now, sports teams, they research data when they are playing an opponent, and they watch video. They actually watch teams play. They watch old footage. When a company goes out and purchase another company, they look at the past, history, finances. They actually look at the talent, and they draw the conclusion whether or not to buy the company. Likewise, as a sports team or as a boxer, they study how the person fights so that they'll know how to fight them. So they study things that's in the past. What if Christians followed that and actually studied the past of the Old Testament and learned from it? Why can't Christians do that? Talking about that, there are some people in the Bible that we're going to study tonight, Job, and we're going to study some more people in the Bible that actually we can learn from. Think about this. As a child, when you seen your sibling get a whooping, and you said, no, I don't want to do that, because if they stayed out late at night and they got a whooping for it, you said, that's something that I shouldn't do, so I see the consequences for that. So when you see the consequences for some of these people that's in the Bible that have made right decisions and made our wrong decisions, we have to learn by that. And the Old Testament is not outworn. The apostles learn from it. People say the Old Testament is written for the New Testament Christian, and it is. Now, patience. I don't have patience, neither do you. But people in the Bible we can learn from to have patience. When I moved to Midland, Texas, I said, I want to take the first thing smoking and get out of this town. I hate this town. There's no trees. There's no grass. There's nothing. There's nothing here for me. But through patience, years later, I bought a house here. I work here. I got my church family here. And we love here. If I was impatient and would have left and not being in God's will, I wouldn't be here in front of you tonight. So you can learn from something in the Bible when it comes to patience. One thing you're going to learn is patience through brotherly love and suffering. So turn to Galatians 6:2. And Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So bearing burdens. When somebody is suffering, and somebody say, "Pray for me," that's what you are to do, is pray for that person in brotherly love. So that that person may have patience, because patience endureth much. What is patience? In Midland, Texas, or in the world, we don't have patience. We have an iPhone, we have an app, we can download things. I can order Chick-fil-A from my phone. I can order a movie from my phone. I can buy stuff from Amazon from my phone. We have no patience with society. But God said patience is good. So why then don't we have patience? Why can Christians sit at a ball game 2 hours, but can't sit in church through a sermon 50 minutes without glancing at the watch? Why is the pews empty? Because somebody's probably watching Sunday night football. Let's be honest, right? God tells you to stay home. He doesn't. The devil tells you to stay home. Watch football. The devil wanted me to stay home tonight. I was sick. I said, you know what? Maybe I should call Pastor and tell him, hey, you know, I'm sick. I can't come. But I came anyway. Yeah. Glory to God. So here in Acts 20:35, and we're going to skip around a lot and we're going to get the scriptures. So Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. I shewed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said, it is more blessed to give to receive. Again, talking about brotherly love. If you see a brother in need, give. Don't just talk about it and say, hey, you know what, I heard so-and-so lost his job. Well, you know, that's the oil field. How about helping him or her out? How about stop talking about him? How about have love and patience for that person? Because you could be in the same place that they are. Therefore, the grace of God, they're out, right? So again, we must be that way as Christians. It's sad that Christians don't want to help other Christians out. It's sad. In this church, we do, and I can't say that, because I've been on the benefit end of it. So let's talk about the few men in the Bible who had patience. Let's talk about Job, which we know he went through a lot. We're going to go to Job chapter 2 and verse 13. So they sat down with him. Now, we all know that Job suffered. We all know that he had everything, and the devil asked permission to do what he wanted to do with him, and God said, but you can't kill him. So they went down, and they're talking about Job's friends. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw his grief was very great. Patience in suffering. So here's Job's friends. And they sat down with him, and they spake unto him 7 days and 7 nights. They sat down and said nothing. Sometimes when a person going through something, the best thing you can do is show up. You don't have to say anything, just show up. That says a lot. 7 days and 7 nights, they sat down, and his grief was very great, and it said that they spoke not a word. That tells you that when somebody's going through something, you may not have the right words to say. And sometimes saying something may make the matter worse. Singing a song to somebody that's already sad is just going to make them cry more. And that's if you can sing. Right? That's if you can sing. If you can't sing, they're really going to cry, right? So again, that's something to think about. Now, you can learn from the Old Testament and put it into practice. And that's what James told him in James chapter 5. And we're looking at verse 10 here. We're going to go to verse 10 and 11. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Key word, patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. What is endure? Endure means to be steadfast or to hold, to be patient, to sit there, to endure, to take on. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. If we learn anything, we need to learn to be patient. When you lose that job and you say, hey, I'm a hotel out here in Midland, because that's what I did. I wanted to move. I was like Dallas. I was like anywhere but Midland, Texas. I want to just move. I want to go back to South Carolina. But patience and godly counseling. Godly counseling. When you're suffering, you want to get out of it because it's not fun. It's not fun to be suffering. But men of patience. And I learned from the men of the church. And I remember Brother Tom, his vehicle broke down when he was taking a bus kid home. He could have said, you know what? I'm out of bus ministry. That's enough. You know, it cost me my vehicle. I'm giving up. But he didn't. And you can learn from people that sit right beside you, that's your peers. He did not give up. He wasn't discouraged. He was probably upset that it happened, but he didn't let it discourage him. Yeah. So many times we let people discourage us, and now we get impatient, and we make the wrong decision, and then we're out of the will of God. And that's something that you don't want to be. James was talking to a group of Christians that was scattered in Jerusalem. And he said, learn from Job, his afflictions. It was patience. Being in the military is one of the most hardest things you can do, especially in the Marine Corps. You got to be patient. When the drill instructor is yelling at you, and you're thinking, geez, this is my career? I'm getting yelled at all the time? Be patient, because on the other end of that is success. I'm living proof. But without affliction and patience, you will not grow as a Christian. And you will not grow in this world as a Christian if you don't endure hard times. I remember when my mother died, and I was like, man, this is it. This is it. I plan on going to South Carolina to take care of her. Now what am I going to do? And I prayed, and I got a call from Pastor. I got a call from Brother Frank. And they comforted me. They didn't talk long because I didn't want to really talk. But just being there on that phone, like Job's friends were, being there 7 days and seven nights, just being there saying, hey, I'm here for you if you need me, it helped me through it so that I can help someone else through it that may be going through the same thing. So again, patience. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Psalm 40, and we're talking about David here in Psalm 40. I'm almost there. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited, what? Patiently. Patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He heard his cry because he was patient. Remember, God is not on a timetable. We seem to want things quick, right? Internet, we want it quick. But he waited patiently. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet where? On rock, and established my goings. Waiting patiently. Be patient. Patience in the scriptures. If you read the scriptures, there's patience. The world don't have patience. Drive on the freeway and drive the speed limit. Because I drive the speed limit. I drive slow, and Pastor can attest to that. I drive really slow. You're really slow. Right, come back from Colorado, me, Pastor, and Brother Andrew, I was way in the back. They was like, where's Terry at? You know, like, where's Terry? I'm driving the speed limit, sir. I'm sorry. That's right. So I'm driving the speed limit. But again, I waited patiently. And that's what David said, I waited patiently. Now, David, in all of his afflictions, was after God's own heart, right? Joseph was sold into slavery, but he was patient. Joseph was sold into slavery, and he was patient. And let's go to Genesis 45. And let's talk about Joseph for just a minute. Remember, Joseph was sold into slavery from his brothers. Don't you wish you can get rid of a sibling? Just saying. You know, if they're not cutting it, you know, that's more allowance for you, right? Genesis 45, verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and save your lives by a great deliverance. What Joseph was saying is, I waited patiently on God, even when I was sold, even when I was in misery, I waited patiently, and it paid off. He interpreted dreams, and he's basically telling his brothers, hey, don't be upset. This was supposed to happen, and it happened, and I'm okay with it. Remember when he revealed himself to his brothers feared him because they knew what they did to him. Remember when they brought the coat back and said, you know, something happened to him, right? You know, when they brought the coat back because, you know, Joseph's older brother despised him. They didn't want anything to do with him, so they sold him. And years later, what happened? He showed up again. And they were scared. But what happened was, he said, hey, it's okay. Joseph was patient. He was very patient. What if he would have did something? Young people, when you're going through something, be patient. Suicide is not the answer. Putting a gun to your head is not going to solve anything. It's going to make matters worse for your parents and worse for your siblings who love you and for the people who love you in this church. Suicide is a high rate because nobody has patience. They get on social media, they get clowned, they get picked at. Patience and endurance. Study the Bible and what the people did in the Bible to overcome that. If you learn from the Old Testament, you know Jonah didn't listen to God. So what happened to Jonah? He got swallowed in the fish, right? And the Uber, he went back down to and spit him out, right? That's the first Uber. All right? Now, talking about comfort. So patience. Patience is one of those things that we endure. Comfort. Where do you go for comfort? Some people go to alcohol. Some people go to the gym. Some people go to the rifle range. Some people go to porn for comfort. I go to food for comfort. Just saying. I go to food for comfort. Now, there's comfort in the scriptures, but I'm going to tell you something. The people go to different levels of comfort. It's okay to be in a comfortable setting. Comfort to me, Southern comfort to me, is soul food. Yeah. Miss Kathy's banana pudding. Oh, yeah. Yes. Or the cinnamon toast crunch with whole milk when you cheat day. That's comfort. But comfort in the Bible is very important as well, because when you're discouraged and you got patience, you got to have comfort somewhere, right? So you rise above fear. Go to Psalms verse 46. Psalm verse 46, and this is David, of course. He said, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not what? Fear. Though the earth be moved and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Don't fear. Don't be fearful. You know, when you're faced with adversity, fear will come in. Fear will come in anyway. But how you react to fear, if you go to God's word, then it's okay. But when you go elsewhere looking for fear, looking to relieve the fear, it gets worse. The first thing some people do is they pick up the phone and they call a buddy, or they call somebody else, or they email somebody, they text somebody, hey man, help me out. Come to God first. Then he'll tell you what to do from there. He's your navigator. You come to him first and he'll put you in the motion, say, hey, okay, probably call this person because he probably been through what you're going through. Call this person or do this. So many times God is last picked. Like on a football team, or if you're playing 3-on-3 basketball and you've been picked last. I was never picked last, by the way. But if you pick last, when you pick God last, God said, hey, come to me. I'm right here. I'm right here. Where are you? I'm right here. In that small, still voice, he's right there. In all the chaos, all he said, hey, I'm right here. Just come on, I'm right here. But instead, we make chaos ourselves because we call other people and we get other people involved because misery loves company. And I don't want to be your company if you're miserable. They urge us to think of all the transient things. They command us to find joy in God. Joy is in God. When you want comfort, joy is in God. Come to church and hear the word of God. Read your Bible every morning before you start your day. I'm guilty of that. I get up in the morning, the first thing I try to do, oh man, you know what? I got to get something to eat. I got to do this. I got to do that. We're selfish. If you seek God first, that's your comfort right there. So when the day gets bad, you already got your backup because you already got your person with you. As we talked about this morning, you put on the armor of God and then you go out and fight the day. Abraham. Well, let's go to Enoch. Enoch walked with God, did he not? He walked with God, and what did God do? He took him up, comforting God. Abraham was rewarded because he was patient and he was comforted in God's God's promise. God actually promised him some things, and he delivered. The father of faith, he delivered. And we're going to talk about. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15 says, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained a promise. God promised him something, and he listened. You know, when God tells you to sojourn in a land, set up a temporary camp, basically what he's saying, you do it. If God tells you to go this place, he may take you on a detour. You may say, well, where did God, what is he doing? He's taking us on a detour. Don't panic. If he gives you instruction, remember Father Abraham. He listened and God rewarded him for what he did because he was patient. Now, we know he waited for a while on some things, but that's okay because God is not on our timetable. We're on his. So be patient. Isaac. Isaac was patient. Do you remember the famine? Isaac dwelled in Gerar and he was told what? Not to go to Egypt, right? He was told not to go to Egypt. That's Genesis 26:2. Genesis 26:2 and said, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land and I will be with thee. Keyword, and I will be with thee. He never leaves you unless he's going to be there with you, right? For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give thee all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham, thy father. So Isaac waited patiently, and that's what happened as well. He was able to do God's will, and he was blessed by it. And he was blessed by it. So let's talk about Hezekiah. Hezekiah spread his letter before the Lord. And that's in 2 Kings chapter 19. Now, Hezekiah, when he received the letter and he was greatly discouraged about it, what did he do? And I'm about to tell you what he did with it. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. So when you're in trouble, you take it to God first. To God. Not to no one else, but to God. So Hezekiah knew what to do. He took the letter and read it and said, okay, this is above my rank, right? This is above my pay grade. And he took it to Christ. That's what you do when you're in trouble. Don't take it to no one else. Because they got their own problems to deal with. You may ask them to pray for you, but you take it to God. And once you do that, my friend, I tell you, I've took so many problems to God and I've seen him work. And I've seen him work miracles in other lives. Just like Miss Kathy that's sitting here with you this evening. Miracles happen. We pray as a church and it happened. So Hezekiah took it before God. So when you're discouraged, or you may have a friend that's discouraged at work, or maybe a family member, you tell them to take it to God, because that's your best option, is take it to him first and foremost. Now, let's talk about the hope of the scriptures. The hope of the scriptures. What is hope? Why are we here? Why are we born? Some people ask the question, what hope do I have? I'm living today. I'm working a job. I'm working 60 hours a week. What hope do I have? I mean, I'm working, going home, working again. Your hope is in the Lord. By the hope of the scriptures, we understand the hope of salvation. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 8, it says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. Without hope, without salvation, we're useless. And I was telling the teens this morning, Jesus Christ said, it is finished. When he said it is finished, he defeated death. He defeated death. When he said it is finished, that means you got something to look forward to. Because otherwise, we're just here living and we're going to die one day. You live, you die. You live, you die. You live, you die. It's been happening ever since man has been on earth. You live, you die. So if you don't have hope in salvation, then you need to get salvation and you need to get saved. Because otherwise you have no hope. No hope in money. Money is not going to get you anywhere. Money, I know some people that are wealthy and some of them are miserable. They're miserable because money can't buy everything. Money can't buy you into heaven. God is not going to, you know, you're not going to get to heaven and say, here, God, you know, I'm in. Because you know what? You have to be bought with a price when you get in. Right? You can't buy a way. You got to be bought with a price. So that means you got to accept that free gift. It's free. All you have to do is confess your sin and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But admit that you're a sinner first, because we was born into sin. So that's what you got to do. Admit that you're a sinner and you have the hope of salvation. That's what us Christians have, the hope of salvation. We don't have Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad. We don't have to compete with another religion because we know the true religion, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, keep in mind that hope is there. By the hope of the scriptures, we understand the blessed hope of appearing of our Lord, and that's in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. In verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That hope of the appearing of the Lord. The hope that if God answered prayer for somebody else as well, he can answer prayer for you. The hope that when you see somebody else's life change because of Christ, you have that hope. That's why as Christians, we must live by what we say we believe. And not put on this fake facade like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. And then Monday through Friday, and all of a sudden Saturday, you're like, oh, well, I got to get ready for the church, so I got to pray up. No, you should be prayed up already every day of the week, right? That's what you should be. But so many times Christians are not. We're not prayed up enough, but we come to church, say, entertain us, Pastor. No, you should be prayed up first. We have hope. We have the hope of the resurrection of the dead. We also have the hope of glory in Colossians, verse 1. And if you would please turn to Colossians, verse 1 here. Excuse me, Colossians chapter 1. In verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ is in you, the hope of glory. We have the hope of glory. One day, we're all going to be in heaven. One day, and I can't wait. I got people I want to see. I'm not concerned about what the world thinks about me by being a Christian. People ask me all the time, do you drink? No. Why, man? You don't drink? You don't have a time? You know, good time? I have a good time in the Lord. Thank you very much. I don't have to drink to have a good time. I don't have to smoke to have a good time. But so many people are having a good time, but that time is going to come bad. I hate when people say I hate the slogan, rest in peace, because not everybody's resting in peace. That's for sure. But that's the slogan that the world says when somebody dies, oh, man, rest in peace. They're not resting in peace if they don't know God. We have the hope of glory. We see that God has done for his people and therefore hope. We believe the promises through the word and therefore hope. We enjoy present blessings and therefore hope. We have hope. At the end of the week, when you worked hard or 2 weeks or whatever, you hope to get a paycheck at the end of the week for your labor, right? Likewise, we trust that same, we trust more in Jesus Christ that said, hey, when I die, I know what's going to happen. Just like you're confident that on every Friday morning or every other Friday morning that your money would be in that account, you expect that when you close your eyes and draw your last breath, you expect to be present with God and not in hell, right? So again, you must have faith that somebody else took it upon themselves and said, it is finished, and did it for you. You didn't do it by yourself or for yourself. So that means if you bought with a price, that means you owe God your time. That means you owe God some money, because 10% of what you earn should go to God, or whatever, however God tells you to give, that's how you should give. But you owe him something. You owe him your time, if nothing else. You owe him your time. And we got time for Facebook. We got time for music. We got time for bowling. We got time for everything else but God. Look at the pews. They're empty. Some people are sick. But the churches are empty. The churches who preach the word of God are empty. The churches who entertain are full. But guess what? They're going to be entertained somewhere else when that day comes if they don't give their life to Christ. I'll tell you that. They will be entertained somewhere else, and it's not going to be an AC where they're going. I guarantee that. Again, we got hope. Hope in what comforts us. Just like I told you about the comfort food. Like you get a bowl of ice cream, you sit down and you eat it. Or just like my wife received a gift from someone here, a basket. And she was all happy. She came home and said, I got a basket. I said, well, what's in it for me? Is it phase 10 cars? What is it for me? She said, no, it's chocolate and some stuff and some scents. I'm like, scents? That's not nothing for me. I don't want that. But again, she was happy about it because she got it from a sister in Christ here. Amen. So she was excited about it. Be excited that you're in the right place tonight. You're with family. Amen. And that's what Pastor told me before I got up here. He said, you're with family, don't worry about it. You're with family. So again, have hope. I'm going to read you something, if I can get to it. Talks about comforting. Here's a dying man who spoke this. He said, speak to me now in the scripture language alone, said a dying Christian. I can trust the words of God, but when they are the words of man, it costs me an effort to think whether or not I may trust him. Trust God. Trust God. And here's, there's a gentleman named George Peabody. He was saying at Sir Charles Reed's house, and I'm reading this, he saw the youngest child bring into his father a large Bible for family prayers. Mr. Peabody said, "Ah, my boy, you carry that Bible now, but the time is coming when you will find that the Bible must carry you. Someday, whenever, remember, this is your instruction manual, right? Just like an employer gives you employee handbook and say, these are the rules and regulations, please follow them. And you sign and say you received it. Or you get a job and the employer says, this is yours. Or you go to school or college and they give you the student handbook. They say, read it. And most of you don't. Most people who get a job, they don't read it. They read the payday and the vacation days. Am I right? This is something that you should read because it's valuable. It's more valuable than any payday that you're going to get, and it's more valuable than any vacation that you're going to get, all right? You will get an eternal life out of this book. The Old Testament speaks words and speaks volumes. So remember, you can learn from the people in the Bible in the Old Testament because it's written there for our instruction. It's written there for our example, right? Our example. As in the military, when they give you the what they call the Marine Corps green, the knowledge, right? They tell you, hey, read this, and you best read it. I'm telling you tonight, read your Bible. Search the scriptures daily. A lot of Christians are being fooled. Do they think that, hey, I can go to any religion and it's okay? We're all in the family of God. I kid you not. We're all not in the family of God if you're not saved.
That's right.
So comfort our people. So then the hope of the scriptures we had, this is good hope, a lively hope, the hope set before the gospel, the blessed hope. And I'll leave you with this. You have patience, you have comfort, and you have hope in the scriptures and nothing else. And I guarantee you, your life will be better. You know what? It won't be easy, but you know where to go like Hezekiah did. He brought it before the Lord immediately. He didn't take it nowhere else. He beelined it and opened it to the Lord. So may that be unto you that you do that. And Pastor, I just want to thank you for everything. This man is a blessing to this church and his family. And I thank you.
All right.